Calling all rich little broke girls, if you can easily identify the threats to your life, this one's for you. Hi, ladies. It's me, Slim Kim, aka Kimberly Indibizu, founder and host of Rich Little Broke Girls, the podcast and collective for aspiring housewives and CEOs. Before we get into it, we need to talk. Miss Slim Kimmy can't keep running her business without some feedback from my Rich Little Broke Girls. So take 20 seconds to leave a 5-star review with a compliment. It doesn't have to be true, but it has to be in writing. Yes, I am still in LA. It has been 12 years and I am still in LA. I am 12 years a slave to the city of Los Angeles. I don't know if that's appropriate or not, but here I am saying it. I love LA. I will definitely move to LA at some point in my life. Could totally do the bi-coastal thing, but like bi-coastal means that I spend time in New York and LA, and I have been in LA for majority of Q1, and I am just so excited to go back home to New York City and to be like, hey bitches, I'm back. Like, what are we doing? And everyone's gonna be like, oh my God, Kim, we thought you died. Like, what? You know what I mean? I feel like I have so much momentum in New York. Not to say that I don't in LA. Like, I have had the best time in LA. I've met so many people. My sister came to visit. My best friend came to visit. For those of you that don't know why I'm here, Mr. Man lives in LA. So I've been between LA and he's been in New York, and we're just doing like the back and forth thing while we're like still figuring it out. But I mean, I love LA and I've seen so many of my girls while being out here. Speaking of, like I said, my sister came to LA, was it now 2 weekends ago? Oh my God. It's literally been 12 years since I've been here, that now it's been 2 weeks since my sister's been here. And I just feel like my sister was here yesterday. Anywho, so as you guys know, my big sister, if you don't know about my big sister, you should probably go listen to our episode together called Not So Friendly Reminders featuring my big sister. Her name's Ashley Nicole, and she is quite literally my soulmate. Anyway, she came out to LA and we had the best time ever. I think she came out like on a Thursday night. We picked her up from LAX at like 12 a.m. And then on Friday, I don't even know what we did all day. I think Friday we went to Century City, which is one of the malls here in LA. And when I tell you, I'm such a mall girl because I'm from Houston, Texas, and Texas is literally a city of malls. But Century City is the most beautiful, serene, outdoor, indoor mall experience. I mean, like anyone that loves a mall would just orgasm having arrived at Century City. It is just perfect. All the stores that you could ever imagine. It is like, I have never seen a Chanel beauty store or like a Chanel fragrance store, but there's a Chanel fragrance store at Century City. And they have like all of these different scents and fragrances that I've never even seen in my life. Yeah, it is just like that type of experience. So my sister and I went to Century City and I think we did that during the day. I mean, we were overly ambitious. In fact, before we went shopping, we said that we would go hiking. She was like, Kim, you know, I really want to go to Griffith Observatory. And I'm like, all right, let's go. So we drove out to Griffith Observatory, which is essentially an observatory. I mean, I don't really know what an observatory is. It's like some like building at the top of a hill that you have to hike to get to. And so I'm like, great, we can go on a hike. I drive us to the hike. And obviously I drive us to the bottom of the mountain or the hill or whatever the hell it is. And my sister's like, oh my God, Kim, like I thought we were gonna park at the top, take some photos and then leave. And I'm like, no girl, like we came here to hike. Like I skipped Pilates for this. We are hiking up this mountain. We have our hiking shoes on, we have our cute little gear on, and we get to heading up this mountain or hill or whatever. It looks like a mountain to me. You know, I'm from Texas, pretty flat. I live in New York, pretty flat. This thing looks like a fucking mountain to me. And so it's me and my sister, and we are hiking up this mountain or whatever the hell it is. And we're just like talking, obviously gossiping about people that we both know, people people are in our lives, our family, our personal lives. We're just like shooting the shit. And we stumble upon this man who is just like standing and staring at us. Like he is staring into our soul. You know, when you like look at someone looking at you and they look away, he did not look away. And he was with like some type of dog, the kind of animal that a cop would have if they were looking for a dead body in the mountains. You know what I mean? Like one of those dogs that know how to sniff bones out of the ground. And so this man is staring at my sister and I, like into our souls. He's not looking away and it's kind of creepy. And so whatever, we just like walk by him and it's literally the two of us and this man on this trail. And so we're just walking up the mountain, having girl talk. And it's interesting because in retrospect, I realized that he was kind of close to us. You know me, I'm pretty aloof at times. And all at once, my sister's like, Kim, stop. Like, stop walking right now. And so I stop walking. She stops walking. And then this man behind us stops walking. And when I tell you, it's probably been 15 minutes since we've been walking up this hill. And I'm looking at her like, why the hell is this grown-ass man who's wearing head-to-toe camo with this hunting dog stopping his walk when you told me to stop walking? It was almost like we were all looking at each other in a circle. I stopped, she stopped, he stopped, the dog stopped. And I'm like, wait a minute, are we about to die? There's like two other hikers that are kind of a little bit ahead of us. And they saw all three, four, including the dog, stop. And this lady looks down at us and she says, are you okay? And my sister's like, why is this guy following us? And when I tell you, this guy is just staring at us, like he's not saying anything. And he is just staring at us. And at this point, we are in a kumbaya circle. And this man who has been following us for 15 minutes is just looking at us. And my sister's like, you need to stop following us right now. And he just like doesn't say a word and he keeps walking. And my sister is just like, Kim, we got to get out of here. Like, this is so bizarre. Anyways, I didn't even intend on telling you guys that story, but I totally forgot that that like really weird psycho man was following us. And I was like, Ashley, like, had you not stopped all four of us, including the dog, you and I would have probably ended up in a gutter somewhere. Like this man was 1,000% a killer and he was gonna kill us and he was following us. Because like what type of stranger looks at you in the eyes and doesn't communicate? A killer. We got about halfway up the damn mountain. My sister took her little photo and we left and we rewarded ourselves by going to Century City. And that is how the first day that my sister was visiting me in LA went. And then that night, I think we went to a Lakers game with Mr. Man. Then I think we went out for like someone's birthday party, just like very like LA scene-y, like industry people vibes. It was quite interesting. My sister and I were just kind of like sitting in a corner, keeping to ourselves. And then the next day was Saturday and we were so hungover. We didn't do anything all day. And in the evening, we decided to go out for a girls' night. And so my sister, not being from LA at all, she was like, Kim, you know, I really want to go to Delilah. Like I've been there one time a couple of years ago. And I'm like, yeah, let's go. Like I've been a couple times a couple years ago. I don't know if it's still hot, but like, let's go. Let's make a reservation. So we had reservations at Delilah. I'm going to say probably around like 8 p.m. And so we go, we look like hot, sexy, grown-ass women. I drive us and we pull up. And honestly, the vibe for an 8 p.m. dinner reservation was not the best. Honestly, it really felt like just a lot of influencers, a lot of like college wannabe vibes. Like it wasn't grown and sexy, which is what my sister and I were giving. And that's just like what we want, right? Like when you go out, you want to be around grown and sexy individuals. And also that's like what I'm used to in New York. You know what I mean? Like I'm not used to going to places that feel like everyone's trying really hard to be there. And that is just like the vibe that I was getting when we were there. Like no shade to Delilah. I have had some of my best nights in LA at Delilah, but on this particular night, for some reason, the crowd was giving like, I'm trying really hard to be here right now. And so my sister and I were like kind of annoyed. And I know, I'm pretty sure we had our meal in less than an hour. We both had a single cocktail and we were like done with dinner. And I remember the table next to us got cleared as we're like finishing up our dinner. And I told her, I'm like, you know what? This is a girls' night. Let's just see who gets seated next to us before we clear our table. Because like, what if it's like a good group of people and we can kind of just like end up having a night with them? And so they cleared the table next to us and they bring in like a large group, but it ended up being like a family. It was like, just like a family. And I was like, all right, let's get the fuck out of here. And so we decided to have one more cocktail by the bar, Delilah. And then we were going to head over to Soho, West Hollywood, which was literally a hop, skip, and a jump. So I call an Uber, we finish our drink, call an Uber, and we go over to Soho, West Hollywood. Mind you, it's just me and my sister, and this is a girls' night. So we are going to have a night. Honestly, at this point, I didn't really have high expectations for Soho, West Hollywood, just being that, you know, it was Saturday night, Delilah wasn't really popping. Like, I didn't really have any high expectations for Soho House, to be quite honest. I was like, let's just go and like, we'll have another drink and then we can go home. And so we arrive. And when I tell you, the second we walked into that Soho House, it was like daddy o'clock. There were so many men, my jaw could have dropped to the ground. I'm like, this is so uncomfortable as a partnered woman. Like, I don't want to look anyone in the eyes because it looks like they are going to pounce on us. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Soho West Hollywood, but essentially, you know, you go up in the elevator and it opens up and it's this like grand staircase. And at the top of the staircase is the house, right? And so they have a bar and they have seating and it's like panoramic views of the city. And the entire place is crawling with grown men. And I am like, this is a lot. This is like so much. This is crazy. And so my sister was wearing my black Helmut Lang leather jacket, which is like way too heavy to wear on a night out. But like, you know, she wanted to cover her shoulders and, you know, it gets chilly in LA at night. So she was like, can I just wear it? And I'm like, yeah, totally, totally fine. So we're in there and we kind of like stand at the end of the bar and she's like, Kim, you know, I really need to check this coat. Like, I don't want to be wearing this all night. And I'm like, okay, just stay right here. Like, do not leave right here. Because when I tell you we were like fresh blood in a tank full of sharks, I did not want my sister to be devoured. So I was just like, stay right here. Do not move. I am going to go check your coat. And she's like, okay, fine. I go looking around trying to figure out where the hell can I check my sister's coat. I had to go down the grand stairs, down the elevator, all the way to the lobby to check the coat. And so I'm like, okay, great. The coat is checked. Let me go back to the corner of the bar where I left my sister and I told her, do not leave. By the time I'd gotten back to my sister, there were like six men surrounding her. And I was like, holy shit. Like, I need to save my sister. I need to save her. And so there was just so many guys around her and I just like go in there and I just like grab her from the bunch because it's clear that she's like uncomfortable. And I just thought it was so funny. I think we're like standing by the bar waiting to get a cocktail and some guy starts yelling and pointing at me and he's like, Houston, Texas, Nigerian. And I'm like freaking out because I'm Nigerian. I'm from Houston, Texas. I'm like, how the hell does this guy know who I am? Like, I don't even know who this guy is. I've never met him in my life. And he was like, hey, yo, you. And he's like pointing at me. And I'm like, hi. And he's like, I met you a couple years ago at the Edition. He was like, you were with your girls and we were playing pool. I don't know if you guys have ever been to the Edition West Hollywood, but they have this like pool table in the lobby. First of all, the lobby is so lush and just gorgeous and just, I don't even have words to describe it. It's marble. They have this open fireplace. They have this absolutely grand bar. I mean, it is a beautiful lobby. It is one of my favorite hotels to stay at in LA. But anyway, I was staying there and I had some of my girlfriends meet me in the lobby, and I do remember playing pool with some guys, and I suppose he was one of those guys, but it was like when I was 24 and I'm 27 now, so it's been like 3 years, and I'm like, who the hell is this guy? And so he's like, yeah, I met you a couple years ago at the audition in the lobby. We were playing pool, yada, 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 blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I think it just like ended up just being like a very sceney night. Me and my sister both could not look up properly or fully because the second you brought your eyes up, there were like 50 men looking at you. And it was just like very uncomfortable. But like, obviously, like if we were both single, like that would have been the spot. Like you want to go pick up a guy, you want to find a man, like go outside in West Hollywood and you will pick up a man. But no, I mean, it was the craziest night ever. I'm like, dude, the men in LA are just absolutely different. And so, you know, we're ready to go home. So I'm like, all right, let's go back to Delilah so we could pick up the car. We go back to Delilah to go pick up the car. It's probably around like 12 a.m. at this point. And so we get back to Delilah and there's like a line outside and I'm just like, let's go back in just for one more drink. I'm like, let's go in for one more drink and we can call an Uber home. We'll leave the car here. And my sister's like, but the line. I'm like, no. Don't worry about a line. Like, we're two hot girls. Don't worry about the line. Because mind you, like, my sister's a mother. She's married. She doesn't go out like that. If she goes out in Lagos with her husband who just takes care of everything. So she doesn't really understand how to, like, navigate social life as a single lady, essentially. You know what I mean? Like, she's always with the man that's taking care of her. And I'm just like, no. You know me. Like, I'm New York, social butterfly. Just follow my lead. And so anytime there's a line anywhere, you just go straight to the front of the line. Like, that's just what you do. You walk to the front of the line. You act like you don't know what's up, but you're supposed to be there. And so we go back and I just walk up to the front of the line and they're like, hi, like, welcome. They let us in. I look back at her and I'm like, see, like, you're fine. And so we go back into Delilah. It's probably like 12 a.m. at this point, and the entire place had totally transformed. I mean, grown and sexy, the vibes, and like, there's just like full of beautiful people, and there's so many people by the bar, and like, it was just like a totally different vibe from our 8 p.m. And so I'm like, okay, like, we are definitely having another drink. And so we go up to the bar and we're just like kind of like standing about to order a drink, and this guy comes up to us and he's like, what are you guys doing standing by the bar? Like, come join our table. We're sitting down. He's like, what do you want to drink? You know, I'm going to order my go-to Patron on the rocks with a side of fresh lime juice and a straw, please. And my sister, I don't even know what she was drinking. I think she was drinking like a spicy marg or something like that. My sister just that night was just like on fire, a complete hot commodity. Like, all the men wanted to eat her up. Every time I turned around, there was some man that I had to save her from. And so there's this like guy that emerges from the men's room and he just looks like a top model. Like, tall, dark, handsome. And he's kind of like walking towards us, but to walk past us. And so he walks past me and I turn around to turn to my sister to see if like, oh, did you see him? Tell me why this guy is like whispering in my sister's ear, like leaning down to say hi to her, like trying to get her number. And I'm just like, what the actual fuck? Like, my sister is a rocket and the men in LA are obsessed with her. And I just thought it was really funny. My sister's married, so like, obviously she's not interested. It was just like the best night ever. And for my sister who just had a baby a year ago and just needed that like extra confidence boost, I feel like that night out was just so perfect for her. And I know she walked away from her trip to LA like, I really still am that bitch, because my sister really is that bitch. Like, she's a fucking rocket and all the men wanted to eat her alive. And for anyone that says LA is in a drought, that is not true. The men in LA are sharks. You just have to go out with one girlfriend, go to the right spots, clearly. So shout out to LA and shout out to the men in LA for reminding my sister that she really is that fucking girl. The amount of times that I am going to talk about being 27, I honestly cannot believe that I am 27. I am 3 years away from 30. And I know that like when I was younger, I definitely thought by 27 I'd be married and probably have like 5 kids by now. But being 27, I could not in this vein, in this body, at this time, even imagine A, being married, B, having kids. Like, I know for a fact that I do not want kids for a very long time. And I'm kind of just sitting here like, but like, how much longer? Like, I know that I do not want kids until I'm about like 35, like a solid 35. Like, I don't want to be anyone's mother until I'm 35. And honestly, I really think I had this realization because, again, my sister had a daughter, my best friend had a son. Like, I have seen people very close to me have children. And I just feel like, no shade to anyone that has had children. Like, I love kids. I cannot wait to be a mother, but I can wait to be a mother. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not ready to give up my sleep. I'm not ready to give up my life. Like, kids are so damn demanding and they really do need you, and you just have to give them all of you. And I just feel like selfish people live longer, and I am selfish enough to know that I cannot be anybody's mother right now. And if I fell pregnant, which I would never, knock on wood, and thank God I don't live in Texas or Florida, but if I ever fell pregnant, I just, like, I would feel like a teen mom. Like, my baby daddy or my husband would literally automatically be raising two kids. Like, I'm just not ready to be anyone's mom anytime soon. And even beyond the fact that I just know I'm not ready to be anyone's mom, I just feel like there's so much more that I want to accomplish before that chapter of my life. And I don't know, I think it's, like, only been now, like, this year of 27, that I have had so much clarity around, like, when I actually want to be a mother. And now I think I understand how in places like New York, in places like LA, in these big cities, you know, the norm for a woman to be a first-time mom is around the age of 35. And I think it's just because, I don't know, you get to an age and you understand where you are, you understand where you want to go, and you know that there's so much opportunity for you to grow, and there's so much for you to do, and there's so much more in life for you to experience, that, like, I don't know, I'm not just gonna be like, yeah, I'm ready to settle down and be a mom, because I really am not ready to settle down and be a mom, and I don't wanna be a mom anytime soon. I do want kids, I really do want kids, and I can't wait to have kids, but I just don't want them anytime soon. And to be quite honest, in the vein of selfish people live longer, I honestly have been considering surrogacy, and not something that I've done, like, a lot of research on. I'm not going to come to you guys with, like, a bunch of facts, but just ideologically, in concept, I could understand wanting to have a surrogate. And now I kind of understand, you know, affluent women and just, like, women in Hollywood leaning on surrogacy, because I think we've spent so much time trying to be in shape and to create these beautiful bodies, healthy bodies. And I don't know, something about what a child can do to your body does kind of scare me. You know, as a Black woman and understanding our mortality rate, I don't think that, like, going into pregnancy for me is something that I'm ever gonna take lightly. Like, I just think I'm gonna be so vigilant about the possibility that I could die. This is not fear-mongering. I'm not trying to make anybody scared. I'm just sharing some of my intrusive thoughts on my podcast about motherhood and what that might look like for me. But I think as I'm getting older, you know, I'm really considering just reevaluating the timeline, the way in which I want to have kids, how vigilant I want to be about making sure that I live, that I'm alive to raise my kids if I decide to have them naturally. I don't know if anyone can resonate with the sentiment of knowing that you want to be a mom, and, like, it's something that you've always dreamed of, and you know you're just going to be the best mom ever, but also having the wherewithal and the selfishness to say, like, I definitely know I do not want that right now, and I know that I'm not going to want it for a while. I think that's really interesting. I don't know. I think a lot of times people talk about either you want kids right away or you don't want kids at all, but I honestly think I would be fine with having kids in my late 30s. Like, I would be so fine with that. As long as they're healthy and I'm good, then, like, I am in no rush to have kids anytime soon. It's come to my attention that the girls are having a hard time making friends. I personally am not. So I thought that maybe I could share some of my tips and tricks and how I position myself to be the girl that has all of these friends. Because, to be quite frank, I have a lot of friends and I'm actually really proud of it. And I have not always had a lot of friends. It definitely has been a journey for me, but it's been a very intentional journey. I think you all know by now that when I moved to New York, I didn't have a lot of friends. I didn't know a lot of people. I definitely felt like there was like a world that I was trying to break into, and I was just like clawing and just trying to find my way into it. I think my ability to make friends now super easily, like for example, I've been in LA for 3 weeks, going on a month now. And the amount of like drinks and little girl dinners that I've done and cocktails and happy hours, like I've met up with a lot of people because I'm very intentional about making sure that I am meeting women. Like I love nothing more than to be connected with ambitious women, women on the rise, women with diverse perspectives. Like I love connecting with boss ass women. It's just something that I enjoy doing. I love having the conversations. I love understanding what they're going through. I love just being surrounded by boss ass women. And so anytime I'm anywhere, I'm like, well, where are my girls at? Like, who am I connecting with? In fact, the night that I was out with my sister, the girls' night out, this girl comes up to me and she recognized me from online. She works for one of the big streamers and we just like kind of kicked it off. We exchanged numbers and like a couple days later, we went back to Soho House and we had a girls' night and we just like got on so well. And there's just been like a lot of that, right? Like a lot of just like bumping into people and following up with them. Anyway, I want to share with you ladies kind of how I have positioned myself to make friends. Not that I think it's easy, but I definitely think it's possible. And I think you have to be very intentional about it. This is what has personally worked for me. Like if you're an introvert, unfortunately, I don't know if these will work for you. You can try them, but you're gonna have to like really try. You're gonna have to go that extra mile to put yourself out there. This is how I have made friends. I've always been a social butterfly. Like since I was in grade school, I was a social butterfly. Like I always got in trouble for talking. Like Kim's a social butterfly. Kim can't keep to herself. Like Kim focus. Like this is not recess, essentially. Like I was that girl. But I think growing up, right, coming to a city and kind of coming to a city solo, I had no friends. I intentionally branded myself as the social butterfly, right? Like that looks like organizing girls' nights and just bringing the little friends that I had together, right? And I think that manifested its way into Rich Little Broke Girls, all my event series. But I don't think that you need a brand like a Rich Little Broke Girls to brand yourself as a social butterfly. I think to brand yourself as a social butterfly, you have to be able to go out, meet people, but then bring them together, right? And so that has really helped me because when you start bringing value to other people bring value to you. So like if I'm introducing you to my friends, you're going to introduce me to your friends. I am really big on setting up drinks or dinner and following up with a calendar invite. I think a lot of times, you know, you meet people, you follow them on Instagram, and that's kind of just it. If I'm not going to hang out with you, IRL, I'm not following you on Instagram. I think I've made that abundantly clear by now. And so anytime that I'm following someone on Instagram, that's almost just to keep tabs on them to see like where they are in the city or what they're up to. And I will always reach out to set up a drink or to set up, you know, dinner. And I just feel like it's really important to always follow up, right? Like I know you meet people IRL and you can be like, yeah, let's get a drink sometime. And then you don't, but I literally take names. Like if I told you that I am going to hang out with you, I'm putting your name on a list and I will circle back, whether it be this month or next month, I'm going to circle back and we are going to get that drink. And I don't think that like making friends needs to be the most expensive endeavor. However, I do think that you need to invest in it. I do think that you need to prioritize it, but like you don't have to go out and have a Michelin star dinner. Like you don't have to do all that. You can go out and have a cocktail. You can go out for happy hour. One thing that I absolutely love doing is going out for tea with my girls. I also love during the summertime, just going to Dumbo House and laying out and inviting my friends, but like inviting multiple friends and just doing a day at Dumbo House and then having like a couple friends come through during that day. But I definitely think that you do have to be very intentional about the connections that you're making and the relationships that you're building, and really do take names, like write people's names down, write them down on a list. If you said that you're going to hang out with them, follow up with them. Again, I don't care if you forgot to do it. Like, you can always spin the block. You can always reach out to someone, like put it on the calendar, get it on there. Like, socializing is something that you need to be doing. Like, you need to be out meeting people. You need to be out creating new relationships. You have to, like, you have to. Otherwise, you're going to live a very lonely life and nobody is going to be at your wedding. Do you understand? Okay, then. My last tip, which actually I didn't really give it much thought, but I love having friends in different walks of life. And so, you know, I think sometimes people can get comfortable with like their group of friends, but I am such a social butterfly that I like to go fly over to this group and then fly over to that group and then fly over to this group. But I think it's very important to kind of infiltrate friend groups, not in like a social climby, weird, nasty way, but I think it is important to meet your friends' friends. You know what I mean? Like, if you have one friend and they're a part of a friend group, well, like, try to mix and mingle with that friend group. And if you have another friend and they're a part of a friend group, try to mix and mingle with that friend group. Because by the end of it, you're kind of creating a network, like a web for yourself. And you have all these different friend groups and you can kind of, you know, like a social butterfly, you can dance between the different friend groups and you can go hang out with these people and then hang out with that people and then hang out with those people. I think that's a really easy way to make friends. I think it is really intimidating to see all these friend groups and not be a part of them. But when I tell you it takes one person co-signing you and then everybody's just gonna fall in love with you. I don't know if those were tangible tips. That's kind of just like how I maneuver these days. It is a lot easier for me to make friends these days now that I have really branded myself as the social butterfly. And I do get a lot of inbounds. But I think in conversation, when I'm meeting people, I am the driver. Like, I am the one that'll be like, yes, let's get drinks. Like, what's your email? Like, let's do it. Like, I'm the one putting it out there. And then they're like, oh my God, would love to. I make it a point. I'm like, and I'm going to follow up and I'm going to nudge you. Like, and we're going to do it because we're going to do it because that's what we're going to do. Because I am not 27 and I don't live in this goddamn city to like be in the house and not be meeting people. No, like, go out, make friends, follow up, take notes, take names, spin the block, follow up, make it happen. Anyway, that's how I make friends. And I would say I'm pretty damn good at it. Dial *69 because this is anonymous. It's time for confession session. You submit your juiciest confessions and questions to richlittlebrokegirls.com/confess and I answer them live on the podcast. The first confession is titled, Put a Ring on It. I've been dating him for 2.5 years. I want a ring and he feels like he may not be that excited about it. What should I do? I'm 35. I don't mean to be dismissive and I don't want this response to be dismissive, but time is of the essence. The fact that you're even calling your age into question means that you are on some type of timeline, and him not being excited to put a ring on it is impacting your ability to, you know, do whatever it is that you want in your life. Be married, have children, whatever the case may be. And again, selfish people live longer. So he may be the best guy ever, but if that's what you want and he's not giving you what you want and what you feel like you need, then you need to find someone that is as excited about putting a ring on it as you are. You know what I mean? Like, what does him not putting a ring on it after 2.5 years mean to you? You really need to sit with yourself and consider, is this the right relationship for me? Is this the right person for me? Because I don't know, I think we just deserve to have all the things that we want in this life. We deserve to have all the things that we feel like we need in this life. And so if you want him to put a ring on it, then God damn it, he needs to put a ring on it. And maybe like Estee Lalonde, if you listen to The Deep End with Estee Lalonde, our special series, maybe you should employ an ultimatum. You know what I mean? Like, give him an ultimatum, like put a ring on it or I will find someone to put a ring on it. Put a ring on it or me and everything that you know with me is gone. Like, I am out of here. It's been 2.5 years and I am ready to be married. And if you're not excited about it, then I need to go and do what's best for me and find somebody that is as excited to be married as I am. You don't have to convince him to put a ring on it. Like, we're not convincing men to put rings on anything. Absolutely not. Like, we're either aligned or we're not. And it sounds like right now you guys are not aligned, but I think you should at this point understand why you're not aligned. And if it has anything to do with his love for you, then this just isn't the guy for you. If it has something to do with his inability to commit to you, then this is not the guy for you. It could have absolutely nothing to do with you. It could have everything to do with him. And chances are it does have everything to do with him. You know, he may not financially be in a place to take that next step. He could have serious fears around the institution of marriage. He could not believe in the materialistic aspects of diamond rings and things like that, and subscribing to societal norms. You have no clue, or you might have clue. I don't know. But these are all questions that you should ask yourself. And most importantly, you should ask him. So good luck, girl. Confession number 2, old gifts die hard. Hey, Kim, I hope all is well. I recently moved to New York, and about 7 months ago, I started seeing another model I met during New York Fashion Week. We hit it off, talking almost every day for 5 months until the holidays came around, and he totally stopped reaching out. 2 months later, he reached out again, but I know it's good for me, and I decided not to respond. But here's my dilemma. We both have valuable belongings of each other's, and I'm not sure how to handle returning them without reopening old wounds. Any advice? Or should I just cut my losses and let it go? Also, any tips on moving on from someone who never truly cared? I don't know if I've ever left anything monetarily valuable at an ex's house, but I have most definitely left sentimental things, like invaluable things. I remember when I was in college, actually, this is not even an ex. I would not consider him an ex, but this guy that I was seeing, I went over to his one day and I grabbed my absolute favorite pillow. It was a pillow that my grandmother used to have in her collection of pillows. And it was my favorite pillow from when I was a little girl. My grandmother passed away in 2004. So as you can imagine, you know, it was a pillow that was very near and dear to me. And somehow I left this pillow at this guy's house. And I remember reaching out to him to get the pillow back. And it was almost like he was holding the pillow as hostage. And like, he was like, well, I'll give you the pillow if you, and it was just the weirdest thing ever. And I just remember just being like, you know what? Fuck it. Keep the goddamn pillow. And I just decided to like never speak to that guy again. And I remember, like, months later, he would ping me and he'd be like, hey, Kim, like, I have your pillow. Like, I want to give it back. Like, do you want your pillow? And it's almost like he was using this pillow as leverage to kind of meddle his way back into my life. And I remember just like letting go of that pillow. I do remember in the moment I was very upset because that pillow was very sentimental to me. But I also remember respecting myself enough to say, this is not a good guy. And the fact that he is using my grandmother's pillow as leverage to meddle his way back into my life, I am going to have to let go of that pillow and respect myself. And so, you know, to date now, I've left some things. I've left like a vintage robe at an ex's home, or I've left like a silk top at an ex's home. But I just leave it. I literally could not care less. I think if I was able to leave my grandmother's pillow at a guy's house, like, I don't give a damn what you have of mine. I will not reach out to you for shit. Okay. Nowadays, I still think I would be of the same vein. I don't really care. When I'm done with someone, I am done with them. I am not reaching out for shit. I definitely think I would totally be more strategic about ending things. Like, I would make sure that I had my shit back before completely cutting ties. Like, I would never be like, I'm never going to speak to you again. But then, like, I don't know, my fucking Prada purse was at his house or something. I don't know. My watch was at his home. Like, I would never cut ties knowing that I have left something so valuable at someone's home. I don't think I would cut ties before getting that back. But I think at this point, girlfriend, like, I don't know. they have Uber Carrier or Uber Connect package delivery. Like, have them put it in a fucking Uber for you and send it to your house. I don't think that, you know, just because you're asking for your things, you need to necessarily open old wounds. Like, it doesn't have to be that. It, obviously, if you want it to be that, it can be that. But I think you're mature enough to understand that, like, he can put your shit in a car and send it to you, and you can quite literally never speak to him again. You know what I mean? Like, you can reach out to him just for your shit, and you can get your shit back without rehashing the past or falling into some weird pattern or cycle with this guy. I think tips on moving on for someone that never really cared is accepting the reality that they never really cared. You know what I mean? They never really cared. So why do you? And reciprocity is something that we really need to understand when it comes to relationships. You know, we can't just sit and give and give and give and give to someone that's not giving anything to you. We can't care and care and care and care about someone who doesn't care about you. That's just, like, not how relationships should work. And you should value yourself enough to stop caring so deeply about someone that does not care for you. And so I think once you finally accept the reality that someone did not care about you, then you stop romanticizing this idea of them that does not exist, right? That person never cared about you. And so the person that you probably fell for does not exist. And once you start peeling back the layers of who you thought that person was versus who that person is, you're not in love with who they truly are. You're not obsessed with who they truly are because they're not a good person. And we don't like good people. They don't make us feel good. And so I think all of that comes with just accepting the reality and seeing things for what they truly are. And, you know, finally deciding that I am not going to romanticize the past. So, you know, see him for who he truly is and ask him to put your shit in an Uber and send it to you. And let that be that. The final confession is titled Business or Pleasure. Ooh, I like that. Hey, Slim Kim. Love the pod and love you. Question. What's your opinion on in-office romance? Ooh. At work, I've met the most handsome man who quickly became my work crush. He's equal parts friendly, intentional, intelligent, and adorable AF. We chat every time I'm in office, but I find myself cutting the combo early because I'm not trying to be that girl doing more flirting than working. My career is very important to me. We're in different departments, so no overlap work-wise, but at what point do I make a move to maybe see him outside of the office? Do I even make a move or do I wait for him to make a move? It's 2024 and I love the idea of being approached in a respectful manner by a hot man, but I'm debating if I should make the move first since he's a man in the workplace and, you know, me too and all. Am I overthinking it? Well, you know, they say a third of all relationships start at work, so I'm not against it at all for anyone. In terms of making the move, I personally wouldn't make the move. I'm just not that girl, especially in the workplace. I totally understand me too. However, if you're giving off the vibe that you're interested, then I think he should have the wherewithal to make the move. I don't know. I think if you were going to make a move in the workplace, it has to be very subtle. Like, you can't invite him out. However, I think you make a move by inquiring about what his plans are. So, like, if I were ever gonna make a move in the workplace, I would maybe say something like, oh, so, like, what do you have planned this weekend? Like, are you doing anything fun? And then, like, maybe he says, oh, I'm going to this new cocktail bar. I'd say maybe something like, oh, that sounds interesting. I've never been. Well, let me know how it is. And, like, I don't know, maybe we could go sometime. I literally am not the girl that would ever make a move on someone in the workplace. However, maybe that's what I would do. I would probably, like, inquire about what they do outside of work and then maybe find a way to insert myself into that outing or whatever it is. I literally do not know. I am not good at this kind of thing. And I'll tell you why. I personally do not believe in workplace romance. It's something for me, I don't like to shit where I sleep. And I just couldn't imagine dating someone that I work with, it not working out, and then having to see them every day or see them like flirting with someone else. I just, again, don't like to shit where I sleep. And I don't know, I think I'm very big on respect in the workplace, and I never would want to be topic of conversation in that way. That like, oh, did you know Kim is hooking up with so-and-so, or Kim and so-and-so are dating on the low? Like, I just don't want that kind of conversation to involve me in the workplace, because I've definitely been on the opposite end of that, talking about people that are seeing each other in the office. And I just think it's embarrassing for both of them, especially if it's not something serious. And then when it is serious, it's just weird. I wouldn't do the workplace relationship thing. If I were, it would have to be the CEO, the owner of the company. We're going to go big or we're going to go home. I'm not dating my colleague. I'm not dating my counterpart. Like, I'm going for the fucking owner. I'm going for a big dog, and I'm leaving the company, like, with him. I don't think you're overthinking it. I think that you should go for it, but just be smart about it. And, you know, if he's the kind of guy that has dated multiple people in the office, then please leave that man alone, because he is a hoe and we do not date hoes. But, you know, feel it out, suss it out. Hopefully he makes the move first. But if he doesn't, then I would just slowly inquire about his plans outside of work and find a way to insert yourself subtly, very, very, very subtly. You're a lady, remember. Well, ladies, we've reached the end of another incredible episode of Rich Little Broke Girls. And as always, I love to wrap our episodes with a weekly pick-me-up, because sometimes we need a shot of motivation. This week's shot is sent over by Charlotte Freeman, and it's titled Soulmates. I don't think some people realize how lucky they are when they find their soulmates in friendship. Really short and sweet. I think about this all the time. I have some of the best friends ever that are in my corner, that lift me up, that support me, that open my eyes, that show me new perspectives, that challenge me, that let me cry, let me laugh, remind me of the assignment, motivate me. I mean, from my sister to my best friends, and I mean best friends, people that have just seen me for who I am and have decided to love me. You know, I think a lot of times we put so much emphasis on the romantic relationships in our lives, and, you know, gotta find the right guy, gotta find the right partner, gotta get married. But I think we need to start putting more emphasis on the wedding guest and the maid of honor and your bridal party and the people that you want to celebrate the milestones in your life with, and less importance on that one person who may be the father of your kids, or maybe your husband, or your second husband, or your first husband, whatever the case may be. I think that true love, true love is in our friendships. You know, people that have no ownership of you, people that just want you to win for you. And I have some of the best people in my corner. And I think just even being in a relationship right now, Mr. Man tells me all the time, like, wow, like, you know, you spend a lot of time talking to your friends. And I do. I really do, because I really value the voices that I have in my life. And those are the voices of my friends and the people that are closest to me. They just help me get through so much. And so I don't know where I'm going with this, but I think one part of this quote that resonates with me so much is that we really need to appreciate the friends that we have in our life. But more importantly, we need to prioritize them, and we need to water our friendships and water our relationships. And, you know, back to making friends, make sure that we're focusing on creating opportunities for new friendships, and putting ourselves out there to make new friends, and ultimately understanding that our soulmates are our friends before anything. So this week, I want all of you ladies to try to make a new friend. I'm going to try to make a new friend. In fact, I actually will be making a new friend. I have I have drinks set up for Friday when I get back to New York. So with a new friend. So I'll tell you guys how that goes on the next episode. That's it for this week. Thank you so much for listening to the Rich Little Broke Girls podcast. If you haven't already, please join the Rich Little Broke Girls Collective because we host events globally and we're dying to meet you IRL. I hope this conversation left you feeling like taking matters into your own hands when it comes to future planning. And always remember, selfish people live longer. If you like this episode, share it with your friends. If you didn't like this episode, I don't really care. Just share it with your friends. And if you really like this episode, share it with your friends. For all those things, subscribe and take 20 seconds to leave us a 5-star review. I may or may not love you forever for it. And truth be told, it really helps the girls discover our show. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Rich Little Broke Girls and submit your juiciest confessions and questions at richlittlebrokegirls.com/confess. I'll answer them live on the next episode. Until then, I'll see you all so soon.